May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I love that greeting in the morning. You know, how'd you sleep last night? I love that, slept like a baby. Which, the only people that say, I slept like a baby last night, and that means that they slept well, are people that have never had a baby. That's what that means, because if I ask you, how did you sleep last night, and you say to me, I slept like a baby, then that means that you slept for 2 hours, woke up and cried, slept for 2 hours, woke up and cried. So, slept, but we don't come to family camp to sleep, do we? No. Grab your Bibles, Joshua Judges Ruth. I'm actually going to start this morning with a couple verses out of Exodus and Psalms, speaking to the chesed, the loving kindness of God. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, the Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, chesed, and faithfulness. So when God names himself, describes himself, he says that he is a God who is abounding in chesed. Important word in the book of Ruth. Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, chesed. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another night of rest. We thank you for the delicious food that we get to enjoy at this camp. And Father, I thank you for the gift of music and song and psalm, and I thank you for the gift of children. Father, I thank you for your kindness to RCC in giving them many children. Father, I pray that this would be a leaven that would invade the entire church. Father, thank you for the gift of family and of children. Now, Father, please, by the person and power of your Spirit, quicken us to see Jesus in this wonderful book of the Old Testament. We ask you for Jesus' sake, and amen. It's been fun to get to know your new pastor here a little bit this weekend. And we were talking last night just about the about some of the help that we have received over the past few years of just teachers who have helped us to put into practice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, and that is all of the Old Testament, Genesis, Ruth, Psalms, Deuteronomy, Ezekiel. It's all about Jesus. And so as we go through this passage this morning, I'm going to get to that in the application this morning, but I would invite you to run ahead of me. I would invite you as we go through this section of Scripture this morning to, in obedience to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, to see Jesus in the words of Samuel here in the book of Ruth. Sinclair Ferguson, speaking about chesed, which I said last night or yesterday, is a very important word. Appears 248 times in the scriptures of the Old Testament. Sinclair Ferguson says, chesed is not simply love or kindness in the ordinary sense. It means God's deep goodness expressed in His covenant commitment, His absolute loyalty, His obligating of Himself to bring to fruition the blessings that He has promised, whatever it may cost him personally to do that. Okay? Chesed, loving kindness. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So Paul talks about this chesed, this loving kindness, this goodness of God, said was not without effect in me. In other words, when God gives His chesed, His loving kindness, it is not without effect, and that's what we're going to see here this morning. So let's take a look. Ruth chapter 2, I'll begin reading at verse 8. These are the words of God. Then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes? There's that hased, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner. But Boaz answered her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes. I said again, My Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. Let's take a look here at Boaz's extreme, we might even call his extravagant kindness. Okay? Notice that Boaz immediately addresses Ruth as daughter. Okay? This is the first intimation of his pledge to protect and provide for her. So the very first time Boaz addresses Ruth, he addresses her as daughter, and not just daughter, but as his daughter. Now think about this for a minute. Okay, considering the things that we've talked about for the Moabite nation, and remembering that Ruth was the Moabitess. Help me out here. Okay. This could have been Boaz's opportunity for some payback here, right? I mean, he could have looked at her and said, Oh, yeah, you're one of those Moabitesses from Moab. Yeah, I know about you and your kind. Yeah, it was your kind that led our sons astray into idolatry and all kinds of sexual perversity and kindled the wrath of God against us. Yeah, I know who you are. I know your kind. I know your history. This was the perfect opportunity for Boaz to give some payback, but instead he treats her not according to what her heritage deserved, but rather according to his hesed, his favor, his loving kindness. Psalm 103, Psalmist says, He does not deal with us according to our sins. I'm going to read that again. Aren't you glad? He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love, His hesed, toward them who fear Him. Amen. Man, He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. God does not take opportunity to treat us according to what our sins deserve, but rather gives us His hesed, His loving kindness. So we see Boaz's extreme, extravagant kindness. Secondly, we see Boaz's extravagant protection and provision. Now, again, recall how God had predisposed Boaz to have mercy on somebody like Ruth. Remember that Boaz's mom was Rahab, the prostitute of Jericho. And so great mercy had been shown to his mother. And so now Boaz is predisposed to show mercy on the likes of Ruth. And so, first of all, his extravagant protection and provision in proximity and community. Boaz says to Ruth, he says, You stay close to me. That's what he says. You stay close to me and you stay close to my people. Stay close to me, stay close to my people. Don't go anywhere else. He says, And notice that in Boaz's mind, staying close to him is staying close to his people. Staying close to his people is staying close to him. He says, I want you to keep your eyes on my field, my harvest, my work. Okay? Stay close to me, stay close to my people. You keep your eyes on my field, my harvest, my work. And then I want you to follow after the reapers. Follow after my people. So there's proximity and community. Secondly, protection. And again, the Israelites had all kinds of reasons to despise, abuse, and withhold blessings from these cursed Moabites. Look at verse 22. A little bit farther on in the chapter. Look at verse 22. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women. lest in another field you be assaulted. Okay? So Boaz said, I'm showing mercy on you. I'm giving you chesed, loving kindness. Okay, but it might not be that way in other places in the field. So he gives her his protection. And he says, I have actually taken measure to ensure your safety. I've spoken to the young man and nobody will touch you. I've taken care of that. And so he basically said, if you stay in my field, if you stay with my people, working with my people, then you will be safe. Okay? Stay with me, stay with my people, keep your eyes on my field, work alongside of them, and if you will, then you will be safe. Provision. This was really strange. Boaz said to her, you don't have to provide for yourself the water that you will need. So they're working in the heat of the day, and water wasn't just a luxury, it was a necessity. Okay? You could die of heat stroke working in the harvest like this. And Boaz said, okay, the water that you're going to need to do the work that you need to do, I will provide that for you as well. You don't have to worry about that. Now think about this. He said, I will have my men, I will have my servants serve you. Okay? This is turning everything upside down right from the very beginning. Okay? She is the Moabitess from Moab. She just came there to glean on the edges of the field. Okay? Was very content to bring whatever she needed to have to do that. And Boaz immediately says, no, I'll have my servants serve you. I will provide you with the water that you need. And again, just invite you to be running ahead of me here for our application. You ought to be thinking of something like John chapter 4, Jesus meeting the woman at the well and said, I will provide you with water so that you will never be thirsty again. Now note, I want you to note something here. Okay, Ruth's request, okay, when she went to Boaz's field that day, okay, she's thinking, okay, if I can get permission just to glean on the edges of the field, that will be a home run. Okay? That'll be absolutely wonderful. I'm gonna consider the day a success if I can work hard, gleaning on the edges of the field and just sort of staying away from Boaz and staying away from his reapers, because that was actually one of the laws of gleaning, is that you didn't get to do it right alongside of the reapers. So Ruth was saying, that'd be a home run if I can make it that far. That would be the Lord's loving kindness to me. But notice how far and beyond Boaz goes with his provision. He says, don't stay away from my reapers. I want you to stay close to my reapers, and I will provide for you all that you need to continue your work in the field this day. Paul says, talking about our God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we are able to ask or imagine. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God doesn't limit his provision and his blessing to the wimpiness of your prayers? Okay? I am constantly undershooting what God is willing to provide for me. So Ruth's request was far below Boaz's capacity and willingness to bless. It's interesting, especially in Jesus' ministry, we're never reproved. We are never reproved for asking too much. Okay? The only thing that gets Jesus a little bit angry is us asking him for too little. Okay? So regarding Boaz, we look at this here and we say, you know, they say that love keeps no record of wrongdoing. Well, in Boaz's case, we could also say that kindness, chesed, keeps no record of right doing. In other words, Boaz wasn't doing all these things for Ruth and then making a list of all these ways that he had been kind to her so that he could require something of her in the future. Now, all we see here is Boaz going on and beyond the things that Ruth was asking of him, blessing her, providing for her, protecting her. And then we see Ruth's humility and amazement at Boaz's grace. Okay, what's her physical response to Boaz's kindness here? Well, she falls on her face before him in absolute amazement at Boaz's chesed, his kindness, his favor. And then she explains, you know, she says, well, you know, given my lowly status here, the Moabitess from Thank you. Okay. I don't get it. Okay. Why have I found favor here? This doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you even notice? Why would you even notice me? We love singing at King's Cross Church. And can it be? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain, for me who Him to death pursued. Okay, Ruth had the right response here to this grace that was extended to her. Okay, expressed physically as she fell on her face before Him and just began ticking off all the reasons that He ought not to have been kind to her. That's a good example. You know, I could say every minute of every day, but I honestly, if I could just do it once a day, okay, some expression of that. Seriously, and can it be, God, that You would extend Your kindness to me? And like Ruth, recount to Him all the reasons that He ought not to, and then just fall down on my face before Him and say, you know, I don't get it, it doesn't make any sense, and can it be? But there's an answer, okay? So she's asking, and can it be? But there's an answer. The answer is because in committing herself to Yahweh, remember her declaration of faith as she decided to follow Naomi. In committing herself to Yahweh, she is brought into covenant with Yahweh and made a rightful recipient of His chesed. Okay? We were several years ago, we were at a men's Bible study. We were going through Thomas Vincent's Shorter Catechism Explained Through Scripture Proofs. And he asked an interesting question in there, and it just knocked us off of the couch where we were sitting as we considered this. He said, he basically asked the question, he said, when you go to heaven, you stand before the bar of God, are you going to ask Him, should you ask Him for mercy or for justice? Okay? We all said, mercy. Thomas Vincent said, absolutely not. You asked for justice. What? He said, well, yes, justice. Because Jesus Christ, our substitute, Jesus Christ who stood in our place and received in His body the punishment that was due to us, God's not a double dipper. He's not gonna ask for the same punishment twice, right? And so we can stand before the God, and because we can say, okay, like Ruth, we have been brought into the covenant love of God because He has extended His chesed, His loving kindness to us. Okay, that we now become not because of us, but because of Jesus, then we become the rightful recipients of God's covenant love. Sinclair Ferguson says this, in Ruth's case, these qualities are evident in the way in which she responds to harsh providences. She has recognized and submitted to the hand of God in and through them. She has heard and trusted in the covenant word of God. That is what meekness is, submission to God's providence, listening to God's voice, not least when His word cuts across our native desires and when His providences cut across our natural warnings. Meekness is saying, Lord, You have said it. You have done it. And since this is so, I will trust You. That disposition towards the Lord always demonstrates itself in our relations with others. It recurs when Ruth exclaims, why have I found favor in Your eyes that You should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Ruth understands God's favor as a privilege, not as a right. And this is proof that grace was at work in her. So then we have Boaz's recognition of God's work in Ruth. He says, you know, I'm mindful of all that You have done since the death of Your husband. It's all been made known to me. I'm mindful of Your commitment to care for your mother-in-law, Naomi. I'm mindful of how You left Your native land to come here and that how You came to a people that You have not known before. But when Boaz says this, and perhaps it occurred to him before he said it, and I think maybe it even occurred to him as he was saying it, what he was recognizing in Ruth was Abrahamic faith. Genesis 12, verse 1, and the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house and the land that I will show you, And I will make of you a great nation and will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so Boaz says to her, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. Okay, you have exercised faith in Yahweh, and now may he bring blessing to you as a result and full reward given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken refuge. So this is, again, look back in chapter 1 and verse 8. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of Naomi's blessing coming to fruition. May the Lord deal kindly, has said, with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. And so here it begins. So then next we see Ruth's gratitude. Okay, she addresses Boaz as my Lord. And she says, I have found favor, for you have comforted me. Okay, with these words that Boaz had spoken to her, she said, you have comforted me, you have spoken kindly to me. And let's be honest here and recognize the power of kind words kindly spoken, right? I think it was one of the Greek philosophers that first said, be kind today, for everyone that you meet is fighting a hard battle. You know, that is absolutely true. My wife and I recently watched a BBC kind of a detective series, Broadchurch. I don't know if you've seen this before. But one thing that's really interesting in this story, there's some of the characters that are introduced at the beginning of the series, and we did not like them at all, okay? At all. And then a little bit later on in the series, some of the backstory is told to you, so you find out this hard battle that they're fighting. And the minute that you find out the backstory, okay, you are filled now with a kind disposition to these people that you previously did not like at all. Okay. Boaz spoke kind words kindly to Ruth, and she was undone. You've spoken kindly to me, to your servant, though not your servant. Look at verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. And she sat beside the reapers, and he passed her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Here we see, again, Boaz's hospitality and enabling graces. Okay, Ruth, no doubt, is having a difficult time understanding the loving kindness that is being shown to her by Boaz. She's having a hard time taking this in. Okay, so what does Boaz do to convince her? Okay, so he probably sees that in her and says, I know you're having a hard time understanding what I'm doing for you, so I'm going to, here's what we're going to do. Okay, I want you to come to my table. He invites Ruth to his table, and he feeds her from his table, this Moabitess from, thank you. Feeds him from his table, and then she eats and drinks, it says here, beside the reapers. And so she is eating and drinking, not sitting at like one end of the table all by herself. So she is eating and drinking at the table of Boaz in community with him and with his. Note that Samuel records that she eats and is satisfied and even has some left over, foreshadowing Jesus' feeding of the multitude, where everybody ate their fill and then there was some food left over. And then he takes care to make Ruth gleaning work in the field even easier. Okay? She still works for her grain, but her work is made easier by Boaz's loving kindness. Ruth ends the day with an ephah of barley. We don't know exactly how much that was, somewhere between 4 and 9 gallons, which was a lot. Sinclair Ferguson thinks it was about 30 pounds of grain. Suffice it to say, a whole lot of grain. Okay, let's leave it there. Again, Sinclair Ferguson, here a young woman who left everything behind. One morning she leaves her mother-in-law for the day, but in the evening she returns home not only full, but staggering under the weight of God's blessing and provision. The great reversal has begun. Again, So God is proving himself to be the God who is able to do immeasurably more than she was able to ask or imagine. Let's go to verse 18. She took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law, with whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness, has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth, in case you forgot, and Ruth the Moabite said, "Beside, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young, with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. We see here Ruth, having received the loving kindness of Boaz, wanted to be a pipeline, not a pond, of God's kindness and goodness. Okay? She wasn't content just to take in these things for herself, but was eager to pass them on to Naomi in return. Again, our attention is drawn to the fact that, Ruth was satisfied and that she had food to spare. So as, Ruth relates the events of the day, she reveals that Boaz was her benefactor, and then Naomi praises God for his mercy to the living and the dead. Why? Because, first of all, notice how Samuel refers to Ruth's mother-in-law. Again, Naomi, 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 Naomi. Remember, she asked to be called Bitter Mara, and God just said no. So Samuel continues to refer to her as Naomi. This reminds me of, I think it's Psalm 73, where David says about Yahweh, "You hold me by my right hand." I love that. I have four kids. We used to live in Quincy, Washington. Used to take the kids and walk down to Gordon's Red Apple Market down there. And there were two busy intersections we had to cross. And so I would reach down and grab two of the kids by their, one by the left hand, one by the right hand. And we weren't holding hands. Parents, you know the grip, right? You grab them here. Okay, I'm not holding the hand, okay? It's right down there so that you have, okay? And that's what God was saying to Naomi. I hold you by your right hand. You want to be bitter? No, sorry. We're not doing that today. You hold me by my right hand. So Naomi reveals that Boaz is a close relative and perhaps even a kinsman redeemer. Notice that Naomi's pronoun of choice, okay? Boaz is a close relative of ours. Boaz is a redeemer of ours. In other words, she acknowledges that Ruth has been brought into God's family, into Israel by faith. She's a part of God's family. She is a part of Israel. Powerful words. And as per Naomi's instruction, Ruth stays with Boaz and his people all the way through the harvest of barley and wheat, living with Naomi as she did so. Okay? A few words of application here this morning. First of all, and I hope you were running ahead of me on some of these things, but this is a section of Scripture that is just thick with foreshadowings of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, just in Boaz's embodiment of law and love, okay, of law and love. Again, Sinclair Ferguson. "In Boaz, law and love are one. Thus, because God is his covenant God, God's law is a way of his life. He exemplifies the book of Proverbs. He exemplifies the principles of the first Psalm. He exemplifies Torah. He knows the blessing of the Lord because he walks in the way of the Lord." Okay? In Boaz, law and love are joined together and expressed in a wonderful way. Secondly, Boaz equates staying close to him and staying close to his people. So in his instructions to Ruth, he says, "I want you to stay close to me. I want you to stay close to my people." And Boaz is mine. Those two were the same thing. Strangely, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament, Okay, if you recall, Saul, on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians there, is encountered by Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus say to Saul? Saul, I'll give it to you in the King James. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, why is that one of my favorite verses in the Bible, right? Because Jesus indicates there his perfect unity with his people. Whatever you do to them, you do to me. Right? You cannot separate my body from me. Whatever you do to them, you do with me. Boaz says, I want you to be with me. I want you to be with my people. Staying close to Boaz is staying close to his people. Staying close to Jesus is staying close to his people. We see it in what Boaz does to give Ruth. What does Boaz give to Ruth as effectual tokens of his loving kindness? Okay? So Boaz's loving kindness wasn't simply a feeling that he had in the deep recesses of his heart. It was something that was expressed. How did he express that loving kindness to Ruth? First, by words. Okay? He spoke kind words kindly to her. What was the second indication of his hesed? He provided water for her. What was the third indication of his hesed? Bread and wine at his table. Words, water, bread, wine. People, if you can't see Jesus in that, okay, then you need to, like, just go pray for half a day, okay? Boaz said, okay, I love you. Okay, here's covenant love, and it's coming at you through words of blessing. It's coming at you through a provision of water. It's coming at you in the bread and wine of my table with my people. I get goosebumps every time I say that. And in what order does he give them words, water, bread, and wine? You can go right to Acts chapter 2, preaches his first sermon, filled up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, preaches words. And they say, what must we do? And he says, repent and be baptized with water. And then immediately after that, we see them gathering together in house to house, breaking bread and enjoying the bread and wine of the Lord's table. Words, water, bread, and wine. We see it in Boaz gives Ruth food. She's satisfied and she has food over. She has food left over to spare, as again, Jesus feeding the multitudes. Boaz calls to Ruth to remain with him. As Jesus called the disciples to himself, we see that in John chapter 1. Jesus calls his disciples to abide with him, John chapter 15, just as Boaz said to Ruth. Jesus promises us safety with him and in his work, not safety from the dangers of the work. Okay? So Jesus said, you'll be safe, you stick with me, you hang with my people, you give yourself to my work and you will be safe. But that doesn't mean that there won't be some dangers in the work, but Jesus is with us. Jesus said, John 17, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. When Jesus prays safety, he says, don't take them out of the world. Leave them in the world where it's dangerous, but then protect them there. What is Jesus' work? Well, the display of God's glory, the advance of his kingdom, the increase in well-being of his people. God has called us to a dangerous work, and increasingly so. You live in Portland. I don't have to tell you this, okay? There is increasing hostility to God and to his people. And increasingly, as we live out our faith, I think that it will be increasingly dangerous. I thought 5 years ago that I was going to be able to make it into retirement without ever having to do any jail time. I seriously don't think that's going to happen. And please remember that Jesus says you're supposed to visit those in prison. Okay, just remember that. I can give you directions to Wenatchee. You can find me there. Okay. Amen. But Jesus has promised to work with us. Okay. That is the promise. Like Ruth, we have a hard time wrapping our minds around the freeness and fullness of God's grace, his favor, his loving kindness, his hesed. So allow me in closing to illustrate. I'm going to go back to November of 2008. Gainesville High School, Texas. Go Texas. Both had just snapped up when I said Texas. Gainesville High School, Texas. That a win-loss record of 0-8. 0 wins, 8 losses. And in the whole season, they had only scored 2 touchdowns. And they had never played a home game. They had never played a single home game. Why? Because there is no football field at the Gainesville State High School in the maximum security juvenile correction facility. It was a high school within a state prison. So there, on this day, November 2008, 14 players were escorted by 12 uniformed officers from the bus to the field. This team, they wore helmets and pads that were at least 7 years old. Most of the boys had been abandoned by their families, presuming they had families to begin with, so they had never had any fans. So imagine their surprise when they ran out on the field that day at Grapevine Faith High School through a gauntlet of cheering fans and cheerleaders 40 yards long, at the end of which was this banner which they broke through as they ran out onto the playing field. And then they looked up into the stands and were astonished to see 200 fans filling the seats behind their bench, along with half of Grapevine's cheerleading squad, already beginning to lead the fans in support of the Gainesville team. And then, if that was not already enough, the football players began to hear their own names being called out by the cheering crowd, rooting them on, urging them to do their very best. This is my favorite part. I never in my life thought I'd hear people cheering for us to hit their kids, Gainesville's quarterback and middle linebacker, Isaiah, told ESPN. I wouldn't expect another parent to tell somebody to hit their kids, but they wanted us to. Even though the Tornadoes ultimately lost that game, 33-14, the Gainesville players were so pumped up that they gave head coach Mark Williams a sideline squirt bottle shower like he'd won the Super Bowl. So here's the question, okay? Why all the effort for a rival school with a 0-9 record? Faith's head coach, Chris Hogan, decided that he wanted to do something, here's the word, kind, okay? Hesed, loving kindness. Decided he wanted to do something kind for the Gainesville team during their football match, he reported to ESPN. Faith had never played Gainesville before, but Hogan knew the odds of Gainesville winning were slim. Faith had a 7-2 winning record, and Gainesville had only scored 2 touchdowns all year long. According to ESPN, Faith had 70 kids, 11 coaches, the latest football equipment, and involved parents. Gainesville, on the other hand, had teenagers with convictions for drugs, assault, and robbery, all wearing dilapidated football gear. So Hogan sent a message to the Faith community. He asked that half of his fans cheer for the Tornadoes, half of the cheerleaders root for them, and everyone know the rival team members by name. Not everyone was initially excited about the idea, according to ESPN. One Faith player walked into Hogan's office and asked, "Coach, why are we doing this?" Hogan replied, "Imagine if you didn't have a home life. Imagine if everyone had pretty much given up on you. Imagine what it would mean for hundreds of people to suddenly believe in you. Imagine if you were a Moabite from..." Hogan, here's the message I want to send, Hogan said. "You are just as valuable as any other person on planet Earth." That night, the Gainesville players played the best game of their lives, scoring 2 touchdowns. After the game, both teams gathered in the middle of the field to pray, and that's when Isaiah surprised everybody by asking to lead this prisoner. "We had no idea what the kid was going to say," remembers Coach Hogan. "Yeah, that's okay." According to ESPN, Isaiah said, "Lord, this is what happens when Hesed comes rolling over the top of you. Lord, I don't know how this happened, so I don't know how to say thank you. But I never would have known that there were so many people in the world that cared about us. As the Tornadoes walked back to their bus, they were each handed a bag for the ride home, a burger, some fries, a soda, some candy, a Bible, and an encouraging letter from a Grapevine Faith player. The Gainesville coach also found Hogan after the game and grabbed him by the shoulders and said, "You will never know what your people did for these kids tonight. You will never know." Beloved, the favor pictured in Boaz's person, words, and work is God's covenant word to you, indelibly tattooed on your skin in the water of baptism, and weekly exhibit to you in the bread and wine of the Lord's table. Yes, you were a traitorous, despised foreigner living under a divine curse. But God has brought you near to Himself through the shed blood of His Son, our Savior. So come and welcome to Jesus Christ, the greater Boaz and David's greater son, which is why we love to sing. We sang it yesterday. While all our hearts and all our songs join to admire the feast, each of us cry with thankful tongues, "Lord, why was I made a guest?" And amen.